A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 1, 1989, in the series The Worship of the Church, entitled Come as a Child. The scripture reading is Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. The text for the sermon is Matthew 18, verse 4. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
This morning we have the happy privilege of implementing in this congregation something we have long practiced and have believed in, but have only partially acted out. That is the bringing of children to the table. 2 years ago, after a summer experience of the Children in Worship program, Christian education program, we had an early morning service here in which we specifically invited the parents of those children to join them, and they came and they received the Eucharist kneeling here as families, and it was an absolutely beautiful sight. A year ago, I addressed the question of children at the table in a message, "Let the Children Come." And today, we are actually implementing intentionally that conviction that we share here, that the table belongs to the children and children belong to the table. And so I really am not going to speak about the question of the children at the table so much as saying to all of us who are coming to the table that really there's only one way properly to come, and that is to come as a child. One of these days, I will have Colette speak for herself here, and she can give you the understanding of how we are nurturing our children through worship. It's a different nuance. It's a different approach to the nurture of our little children. How can I state the difference to you? If you sat in the circle in a Children in Worship program just one time, you would understand the difference immediately. But since we can't all do that this morning, let me just try to say that it's the difference between a classroom and a worship center. And the approach to our children, while not downplaying the Bible story or the content of the faith, is nonetheless not a head-on, direct, kind of rational, didactic teaching mode, so much as by the creation of an atmosphere and an environment and a mood, a setting. The story which remains central is absorbed by the child, but the whole experience is absorbed. It sort of works its way in through here and up, rather than trying to come through here and down. That works better with children. Probably works better with all of us. But even now, Colette is preparing the children who will join us in a few moments here in order to come with us to the table. But maybe I can say it simply this way. What we are implementing is based on our conviction that a child is capable of experiencing the love and grace of God far beyond the child's rational capacity to articulate or give expression to that experience. There is an experience level that is deeper than the development of the head understanding. And the head understanding will come. The careful articulation of the faith is not unimportant. But into adolescence and adulthood, as rational understanding develops, there will have been laid a deep foundation of trust in God, a deep love for God, something beyond rational comprehension, something beyond the ability rationally to articulate, but something that's felt in the depths of being. Now that's what's going on, and we've got hundreds of beautiful children in this congregation, and I'm just thrilled that they are going to be right on the growing edge of what I believe is one of the finest new developments in the whole area of Christian nurture. But as I said, my purpose this morning is not so much to talk about that as to talk to all of us who've moved beyond childhood and who come this morning as adults to say, but we must come as a child. We must come as a child. Because just as the child is able to know more than the child can know, so God reveals God's self to us, not through a head trip, so much as an encounter with the mystery that is God. Jesus' disciples came to him one day and said, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus put a child in their midst and said, except you turn and become like this child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven, let alone talking about who's greatest. And then he did say, the child is the greatest. Now that was not a question and answer that particularly relevant to this setting this morning, but I think that the answer of Jesus is relevant for what I want to say this morning about our approach to this table. I want to say that we must come as a child. And that what Jesus was responding to in that question is generally applicable. Whether you say enter the kingdom, or whether you say be born again, or whether you say be converted, or whether you say come to the knowledge of God, I really don't care what terminology we use. The only way to experience the reality of God is as a child. Why as a child? Well, the child is so wonderful. A child trusts. Isn't it beautiful to see the trust of a child? The unqualified trust of a child for a father or a mother. The total reliance, the total dependence, without condition or reservation. A child loves spontaneously. Again, who of us has not been absolutely melted by the spontaneous expression of the love of a child? I don't know whether you parents can maintain your objectivity, but as an old grandfather here, I can't maintain mine. Those little expressions of love just do me in. Child loves. It's beautiful. A child is teachable. A child doesn't already have the answers before the questions are clarified, like some of us do. A child is still open, shapeable, teachable. The child is intuitive. Who of us has not been seen through by a child? A child reads us. There's a kind of intuitive grasp of what really is. And a child still has that sense of awe. Now, I don't have too much encounter with teenagers these days, but once in a while when I get close enough and I hear them talk, I know there is a word that I'm afraid we're just going to decay right out of usefulness, but it is current with our teenagers today. It's the word awesome. That's awesome. Well, children can still have a sense of awe that makes them squeal with delight, dance and sing. That beautiful sense of wonder that still is a child. So Jesus said, come as a child into the kingdom. And this morning I say, come as a child to this table. We're going to join around this table. It's so rich with symbol. I hope when you come through the doors of the sanctuary and you come on a day like this and you see this setting that there's a kind of catch in your throat, that there are experiences of the past that are elicited in your memory, that there are feelings that you feel again. I remember as a child, the table was down at this level and it had these big high stacks, but there was a big white linen cloth over it all. I used to think there was a body under there. It was awesome. But, you know, there's the globe, which tells us on this Worldwide Communion Sunday that God holds the whole world in God's hand and that God's love embraces the whole wide earth. The grapes that are crushed to make the wine that is the sign of the life poured out. There's the loaf which speaks of the body that is broken. There's the table itself that speaks of the family gathered around the banquet of God, homecoming. Wait till you see the bread. Diverse in color and texture, size too. Speaking about all of the family of earth. Most of us have not had the privilege that our children are having of learning these deep things intuitively. Most of us were introduced to this didactically. Remember the long liturgy that was read line upon line upon line upon line? A very didactic approach, because we were trying to guard that table in our tradition, to guard it against anyone who might partake unworthily, to guard it against any false doctrine or any superstitious idea. So we read paragraph after paragraph after paragraph to say what it is and what it is not. And when we were done saying what it is and what it is not, there was no mystery. It was addressed to the mind, even though expressed beautifully, and even though the truths are profound, we were never able just to breathe deeply and let our imaginations go and let the images tumble and allow God to touch us in the depths of our being to the extent, I believe, that our children will, who will come with us this morning and with us, will take the bread and take the cup full of mystery. So, come as a child. Come as a child. Come open. Come without reservation. Come ready to experience something wonderful. About 2.5 years ago, I had the happy privilege of picking up my, at that time, 4.5-year-old grandson from the babysitter and to bring him home. And I picked him up with my brand new Nissan, which was the finest car I had ever owned, and it was kind of like sitting in the cockpit of an airplane, you know. So I picked Derek up, and of course, you may be over 50, but you could still be a child with a toy, right? So he got in, and his eyes bugged out. And by the time we got from Grand Haven, from Spring Lake to Grand Haven, he had turned every knob, he had pushed every button, he had played the tape deck, played the radio, put on the heater, tried the air conditioner, had the windshield wiper going, had moved everything that was movable. And I thought, let him go. I get to drop him off to his parents very soon, and I'll get the car back in order. So we pulled into the driveway, and now this was the kid with a new toy coming out, and me. One thing he had not discovered, Bumpa had his first sunroof. So as he sat next to me, I reached up and I pushed the button, and that tinted glass receded into the depths of the roof of the car, and Derek looked up into the blue sky and the sunshine, transfixed. And he looked at me and said, "Holy cow." Maybe this morning, through a word spoken, a hymn sung, the words of an anthem or the chord of an organ, the taste of the bread or the feel of the wine. Maybe someone this morning will be so overwhelmed with the depth of the mercy and the grace and the love of God that irrepressibly you'll hear yourself saying,